Hey, want to learn more about the last great fishing frontier? Then look no further than FishingCanada.com.
Oh, buddy, that's a tank.
The biggest and most comprehensive website dedicated exclusively to, you guessed it, fishing in Canada. Videos, blogs, how-tos, and GPS waypoints to some of Canada's best fishing hotspots and much, much more. We'll even show you how to prepare a world-famous Canadian shore lunch. If you love fishing, then you'll love FishingCanada.com. Welcome back to the program. Outdoor journalist, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Angelo Viola, along with Stephen Labadie and Derek Brandeo, at your beck and call this wonderful weekend. It could be wonderful. Like, go outside and do something. You can walk around. You could go around the neighborhood. I don't know.
Rake the leaves.
Rake the leaves. There you go. I've got that chore waiting for me, believe me. You know, mend the fence. I don't know. What do people do when they're hungry?
Suntan.
Now, there's no sun out there, by the looks of it. A couple of quick things I want to remind folks. Yes, we do have the chat board open, as usual. Stephen, how do folks access that chat board?
Go to fishingcanada.com and click on chat room. You can also text us at 590-590 if you are, well, if you're driving, don't text, but voice command.
But you're probably not driving because that would have to be essential.
And that's true, too.
Everything's closed, so there can't be anything essential.
You might be driving to the grocery store. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Just saying, text 590-590 if you want.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't want to get into that. Yeah, that's on fishcanada.com. The red ribbon at the very top, you'll see a chat on the right-hand side of that ribbon. It's the last little button. Push that. And talk to us. A couple of you are already there. What do we got? Good morning, Ange and Steve. I think you had enough punishment during this week, Edge. Everyone should just go easy on you today. Well, thank you. That's from Salmon Slayer. I appreciate that. See? Somebody's caring for me. They're not all against me.
No.
No. Here's another one from Critter, our good friend Critter. Hi, Ange. There are pariahs out there and everywhere, including the fishing world. Want to be a pro fisherman? What a joke. Patches, pins, nice equipment get you nothing, especially not the right to be considered elite. That you have to earn. Whoa. Nicely put. Here's somebody who just doesn't care about anything. They just want to get a Fishing Canada hat. All I want for Christmas is a Fishing Canada hat. Damn it. Bring it on. Well, you know what? Go to fishingcanada.com. Drop us a note.
Yeah, send us an email.
Tell us why you should get a Fishing Canada hat for Christmas or earlier. Maybe
Santa might deliver it
for the
you.
Pandemic. Maybe you need a Fishing Canada hat to get you through the pandemic. How's that?
Yeah.
Write us a little note, fishingcanada.com. I'll see what I can do for you, because I'm that kind of guy.
Sounds good.
And besides, I may have nothing but time on my hands pretty soon, judging by the, you know, stuff that happened this week on the internet. Yeah, I may be unemployed. Hell, this program might not be here next week, based on all that.
Let's hope not.
Anyways, just joking with you, obviously, folks. I mentioned at the top of the program, we have an interesting guest coming on the show. Well, he is here now. He is with the Dalhousie University marine ecologist is what he is. His name is Boris Worm. He is involved in an interesting study that tells us that if we spend a bit of money, well, not a bit of money, a lot of money, we could have the world oceans back to where they used to be by the year 2050. Let's find out how we do that. Good morning, Boris. How are you?
Good morning, Angelo. I'm really well, overlooking the ocean as we speak.
Are you? Where are you?
I'm off Halifax, just outside of Halifax. And it's nice and calm here today, beautiful. Gulls flying by as we speak, and yeah, very peaceful scene.
Nice, nice. So, Boris, first of all, tell us a little bit about Dalhousie University and this how it's involved in this particular project.
Sure. So this is an international study. So it's 15 of us who came together. And these are people who've been kind of in the game for a long time and looking at the ocean from a scientific perspective and kind of commenting. As you comment on sports, I comment on how the ocean is changing, right? And it has felt for a long time we're kind of on a losing streak. And there's just a lot of bad news coming in. And I think everybody's aware of that. We have fish stocks collapsing, pollution, climate change, and so on, coral reefs bleaching just in the last few weeks. But also, a lot of us have seen that the momentum seems to be changing and that we could still win this game, so to speak. And so we got together and looked through hundreds and hundreds of studies on the recovery of marine species, but also whole ecosystems and habitats that house those species. And how is that going? And what can we do to accelerate that process and make sure the ocean kind of rebound from the low point at which they are now?
Okay, so you're co-authoring this with how many other scientists?
So there's 14 others, 15 in total, from all continents, so from all over the world, because we really wanted to be comprehensive, right? Like, for example, fish stocks are rebounding quite nicely in the United States because they, about 25 years ago, actually, they started to really rebuild them and make overfishing illegal, right? So we're sure we're not taking too much, and that has worked really well for them. But that's not the rest of the world, right? There's a lot of places where overfishing is still going on, where you have international fleets coming in and essentially pillaging, particularly the high seas. We see a lot of that. And that has to end. And so we have to build on some of these success stories that we see locally and really scale that up to the global level to make sure the oceans stay healthy and we have that bounty again that we used to have. Like when you talk to the old timers, like everyone knows these stories, right? The ocean used to be full of fish. The water was clear, safe to swim in, all of that. And we see some of these things changing, but it can be changed back. And the really good news that we found is that when we do this, recovery typically is faster and more profound than what we would expect.
Now, first of all, obviously for you to publish something like this, I was going to ask how realistic is the prediction for you to publish it. You've got some belief that it could be done, but $10 to $20 billion U.S. Can that part be done? I mean, is that realistic?
Well, yes. So first of all, is it realistic to even attempt this? And that's a fair question, right? The ocean is a big place. We all know that. But, you know, I point, for example, at whales. That's a good example, right? Whales were on their way out in the 1950s, 1960s. There was industrial scale whaling from many, many countries in the world, including Canada. We stopped this practice in the early 1970s, as did the U.S. And then in 1986, there was a global moratorium on industrial whaling. And what that did is it caused this over-the-top recovery of a lot of these species. I'll give you one example. So humpback whales that migrate from Antarctica to South Australia, they were down to a few hundred individuals in 1968, which is 1 year before I was born. And then today, they are 40,000. Elephant seal, 100 years. Yes, I know. It's crazy, isn't it? And this is a large creature that increased over this time period. The population did at about 10 to 13% per year. So, for example, the human population at the most can increase by about 2% per year. So that's a population explosion, if you've ever seen one, for a large creature.
No,
elephant seals, the largest of the seals, they were down in California, they were down to 20 individuals, world population 20. That's all there was left, practically extinct. Now they're 200,000. So, you know, this can happen. It's stunning when you see it. I just came back from a place in Indonesia where coral reefs were bombed to bits by what's called blast fishing in the 80s and 90s. They've been protected for about 20 years now, and the recovery is just stunning. You know, the fish, the turtles, the sharks, the corals itself, everything's coming back.
Boris, one note though, you know, and this is just research of one here. You know, one of the things that I see quite often, actually, when one species flourishes, usually it's at the cost of something else, another species, and we see that a lot in the world of sport fishing. When you introduce either inadvertently or purposely introduce one predator into an environment, it's usually at the cost and demise of another.
Yeah.
So my question to you, this is all well and good, and we could, you know, the elephant seal and all this stuff, and that's great news,
right?
Don't get me wrong. But what is it going to cost us to do that in terms of other species?
Well, so, yes, you're absolutely right. We observe some of that one species replaces another as they're increasing. And that typically happens when you're down to just a handful of species left, right? Then you get these kind of out of whack dynamics in the ecosystems, right? And then maybe you have to regulate that for a bit. But what we're finding is when you're really rebuilding the whole diversity of the system, the whole host of species that used to be there, many of which have been lost or they're very low abundance, those things start to cancel cancel each other out, and you get a more stable ecosystem and a more productive ecosystem overall. It may not have the same numbers of everything that you wanted in there. Like, you can't really control which species will be tops at one particular year, but that in and of itself, that builds the resilience we need in the system, particularly as the climate is changing, right? We see we see more and more species coming up from down south. We see the composition of our species pool changing, and we kind of have to go with that and build the system as resilient as we can. And that means allowing the species to flourish and not depressing them beyond the level at which they can reproduce. So that's the main strategy here. And it has been working. Like, we see the results of that in it results in a more productive and more lucrative fishing industry. I'll give you an example. Just south of here in New England, they had George's Bank, right? One of the biggest fishing grounds in New England. And it was close to collapse in 1994, just as our Canadian cod stocks were. They closed half the bank for a while. Within 7 years, scallop stocks increased 14-fold. Haddock increased several-fold over that same time period. And now haddock is more abundant there than it ever been in the last 100 years. So this can be, and people are making big money off this, right? So this it's not something we do to feel good. It's something we do to be profitable again.
It's a fascinating subject, and as soon as we saw it, we said we got to get more on this. And I'm glad that we're doing our part here in Canada to help our oceans, for sure. Boris, keep us informed. Let us know when we've got any breaks and updates on this. By all means, you're welcome here anytime. I urge folks to get more information by going to wormlab.biology.dal.ca. And check him out. His name is Boris Worm, marine ecologist at Dalhousie University. Keep up the good work, Boris.
Thank you so much, Angela. Just one last shout out to your listeners. You know, I think everybody can play a role in this. Like, you know, we were just talking about people out on boats, right? Out on the water. Like, pick up that trash that's floating around, right? Like, every little bit helps in helping the ocean, or, you know, in inland water systems for that matter. Like, we can all play a part, and we all need to play a part in this. We need to act as a team to bring the ocean back to life.
A team. I love it. Thank you very much, Boris. Appreciate it, man.
Good to talk to you.
Boris Worm. Nice story.
Very cool.
Thank you for bringing that to light. See?
No problem.
Hey, how does it feel now to be a part of that whole process? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is now you've set the benchmark. What do you got for me? Like, what are you going to do for me tomorrow, next week?
I have no clue.
Exactly.